And the exact solution in the sense that I will show you what the spectrum of the material is and how to compute the correlation function and some other objects that are interested in history. And some of you have already had this talk, some of you actually many times. So I'd like to present some overview first, very briefly, and get to some of the technical issues that appears in this context. And in principle, I can talk hours on this subject. So please just tell me when to stop. So the SM2R models appeared in many contexts in string theory research, but most recently in the context of a compactification of string in AdS3 × S3, plus some compact four-dimensional manifolds which can be torus or K3. And that appears in the near horizon limit of S dual of D1, D5 system, for example. And but most of these we know how to deal with. For example, string on S3 can be solved by the SU2 WDW model plus pre-terminal if you are dealing with string theory. The only non-trivial part is ADS3, for which you have to solve the SL2R WDW model. And then pre-terminal, which you do know how to deal with. So primarily, I will focus on this part. So before we get to this one, it will be useful to review what we know about compact case. So let me briefly review what we know about SU2 models. So we have the current algebra, which we know very well. And K is a level. For both left mover and right mover. And for given K, the level, which is related to the square of the inverse radius, square of the curvature radius of S3 and ADS3, we have usual representation. In this case, there are only finite number of them, which are denoted by H of L. L goes from 1, 0, 1/2, all the way to half of K. So the structure of the representation looks like that. So you plot the eigenvalues of J3. So as we run the undergraduate, you start with the state with eigenvalue minus L. And then J0 plus only creates state, which goes all the way to L. And then if you exceed that, you get another state. So you stop here. So we have this state. And then you plot the eigenvalue of L0, the energy. And then you can go this direction by acting J minus 1 plus. So you go this way. And then you discover that there is a null state at some moment. So you stop here. And then you go up this way by acting J minus 2 or plus. And then you stop here or something like that. So you start discovering that the state are inside of this kind of parabola. Actually, as we know in representation theory of semi-crystalline algebra, that in order to understand the inter representation, basically all you have to know is the representation of SU2 and the action of Y2. So it's important to understand what kind of symmetry that this algebra has. And the automorphism of this algebra is basically the standard automorphism of the global SU2 algebra that does not act on N, just mixes this generator. But there is additional automorphism, which is called spectral cross. In physics terminology, in mathematics terms, they call affine wire group or something like that. And then it's expressed in this way. Where W is some integer. And the point is that if the generator without tilde obeys this algebra, then these also they disallow. And the significance of this is this, that here you have this, for example, J0 plus and J0 minus generate this SU2 algebra. Here, this algebra, this theta generated by J minus 1 plus and J1 of minus, which you may regard as a one spectral flow over here. So the spectral flow sends this state into this state and this state, etc. So if I rewrite this diagram once again, we have L0 and J03. So we have here thin L representation. And then from the spectral flow plane, because of this factor, you see that this representation is K over 2 minus L, which is thin K minus 2 over L representation. And here the same, thin K minus K over 2 minus L representation. And here you do it once more, but you have thin L representation here, and thin L representation here. So basically you have this kind of structure to it. And from this it's also clear why this representation L should stop over at k over 2, because otherwise this becomes negative and you get non-unitary representation. So what this says is that spectral flows with integer W match HL representation H into this representation and this representation. So the spectral flow rotates this wave diagram so that the representations are mapped into this way. Now there is a geometric picture to what's going on here. The geometric effect happens in this. So we have the Bessel-Zmina-Witte model, so we have a field, Bessel-Zmina-Witte field, which takes value in SU2, which is a function of the world shift coordinate, dx plus and dx minus. And the spectral flow basically maps this into another configuration. Sigma 3 is the Pauli matrix. Where WL and WR are integers corresponding to the spectral flow in the left mover and right mover. What it means is that if you start with this configuration of this, you know, we can feel that we construct the current. You do this operation, the current is shifted in this way. So that's what the spectral flow does. So geometrically possible is where G is a coordinate on SU2, which is a three-dimensional sphere. So suppose, for example, you have a configuration of G so that your field is located at a point, say, on the equator. Then what this spectral flow does when WL is equal to 1 and WR equal 1 is to map this point-like configuration of Bessel-Zmina-Witte field into a configuration which wraps around the equator of the free sphere, which I think is related to what is now called the giant graviton in some sense.
So is it true that the spectral flow is inner orthomorphism of algebra?
It is inner orthomorphism of the Kac-Moody group and not of the algebra.
I see, but why then does it change the representation? Why then does it change the representation?
It is changing.
How can inner orthomorphism change?
It is not in a most automotive equation, that's why it's changing the representation.
But for its conjugation with the element of the algebra, which is x plus times.
Yeah, this is a representation of real algebra, not a group.
Because it's not interpretable.
You cannot generate this action as a successive action of current algebra.
But x plus dot sigma 3 is an element of current algebra.
The element of, so it is non-trivial element. So how can I say it?
It only closes up to the center. If x plus shifts by 2 pi, I think it shifts by minus 1.
Yeah, Yeah, actually, this is somewhat related to what I was going to say. Next. So that is actually subtlety, and it is related to the equation. That is, that subtlety has to do with this factor minus half. And that is exactly the issue about center. And so, actually, I said that this is a symmetry of the model, but it's actually, you cannot set WL and WR to be arbitrary. What you can say is that if the is actually SU2, then you cannot take WL and WR to be arbitrary integer, but they have to be equal to 0 mod 2. In order for the resulting configuration to be closed in S3. Whereas if the group is SO3, they actually they can be arbitrary integer. And the reason for that, in the SO3 case, here I said that this generates a configuration of string which wraps around the equator. But for example, in the case of SO3, we can take WL to be equal to 1 and WR to be equal to 0, which does not satisfy this, but is closed in SO3 manifold, because you can go from one end of an SO3 group to the other end, and they are get identified by the projected action. So it is closed in SO3 group, but it's not closed in SU2. And I hope this answers your question, in fact, because what you said is correct. Well, actually, so this is not, this does not act on SU2, so this is actually not even the element of root group. But if you act it twice, it gets closed. And it is indeed true that if you act it twice, then you get back to the original representation.
So twice of it is in automorphism.
Twice actually the automorphism of the SU2
and algebra. Is in the automorphism formally, but by anti-periodic rule.
Something like that. So it is strictly speaking, it is an automorphism of SO3 mm-hmm. Hasmodic groups are not SU2. And actually, these two pictures. So the reason that I'm getting into this geometric stuff is that this picture, this distinction of SU2 and SO3 fits very well with the structure of the modular invariant function of SU2 algebra that was specified by Capelli, Isikson, and Zubel. So they said that for level K, there are actually, in general, there are two types of modular invariants, except for exceptional ones which appear in only particular level, and one is called A K plus 1 type, and the total Hilbert space of WGW model is diagonal convention. So in some of our left-moving representation, right-moving representation, sum them up. And you can see that this is invariant under spectral flow where you simultaneously move left and right mod 2. You see that this Hilbert space is invariant under this spectral flow action, taking into account the fact that if you act twice, you get back to the same. On the other hand, it is known that there is another type of modular invariant called the D-type invariant. That happens when K is even. And in this case, what happens in the Hilbert space is contains a diagonal one with L now being integer. Here L was integer or half integer. But here you have an integer. But there is also a diagonal element, which is of the form of HL, with H K over 2 minus L, with some normalization. And you see that this one is actually invariant under this transformation. Because you can act spectral flow on one side, but not act on the other one. And then it is sent, this component is sent to here. So, and this fits well with what people think, that this is quantizing the SU2 manifold, whereas this is quantizing actually SO3 manifold. And that distinction is reflected upon how the spectral flow is acting on the Hilbert space. So that's a brief review of how the modular invariance works in the case of SU2 WZW model. And I'd like to go on to discuss the structure of the SU2 Now, before going to that, any question?
So if you act twice, this string wraps around?
So if you act twice, if you have N here, if you have W here, then you have string wrapping W times. But in the case of SU2, because SU2 has no pi 1, so basically if you wrap twice, you can wrap the point. And that is reflected upon the fact that if you do it twice, you get back to the same representation. Since there is no pi 1, that means that this kind of generator is continuously connected to identity. So that means that you can grow such a generator by successive action of current algebra generator. And so this fits well with the fact that even action is better in this case.
That's true even if you act once. But even if you act once, actually,
you can... No, if you act, this was the point that I was making here. If you act once, say left 1 and right 0, then it's not closed in SU2. So it's not a good element of SU2 case. And it is true that it is a good element in SO3 case. Yes.
So you have this nice interpretation geometrically if WL and WR are equal. If they're not equal, you just do different things with the left and right half of the string.
So if you do this way, what it does is that, for example, you can get a stationary configuration of the string.
Okay.
And it's just sitting here. But for example, if there's a difference, what it does is that it wraps around, but also moves around. There's a time development, and so there's time coordinate and space-like coordinate. So it wraps up, in general, we can wrap around any time and move around any times. That will be a difference, the sum and difference of WL and WL. Now, so what I want to do is to bring the knowledge of SL2R model to this level. And I believe we have succeeded in doing that. So let me first briefly review what we did with Farm Andersen in our Farm paper. So we made a proposal about Hilbert space of the SL2R model. And it appeared last year. And our proposal is a Hilbert space. I'm going to explain the notation right now. But Hilbert space is of this structure. Okay, so now this is a proposal, and so what I'm going to talk in the next 30 minutes or so is to explain what this means, this notation means, and why we believe this is true. Okay, now, so let me explain the notation. So here I'm only going to talk about the universal cover of SL2R group manifold, so that there is no time-closed-time-like curve. Now, if we are really doing SL2R manifold itself, simple cover of that, we have to sum over W for left and right separately, and also quantize the value of J. That's all you have to do. But here I'm considering the universal cover of SL2R manifold, and so let me explain those notations. W is going to be the spectral flow, the same one that I was talking about here in the case of SU2. And DJ and CJ correspond to two different types of representation. Now, DJ, let me start with DJ of W equals 0. So let me first, again, write the diagram. So in the case of SL2R, one type of unitary representation you can construct in the highest weight one. You start with spin J, and then grow state by acting J0 plus in this way. So that's a unitary representation. And then what you can do is to grow the true representation of affine algebra by asking current algebra generators. Those are studied by many people, including Michael, 11 years ago. So you have the full representation of this algebra in this way. And I'm only going to talk about the case when k is greater than 2, in which case there are no null vectors in this representation. And the dark, this is the energy, and the highest rate here, the energy is equal to minus J, J minus 1 over K minus 2. And then you have Cj alpha of W equals 0, which you start with the so-called continuous representation, whose energy is not bounded below. So that's very unphysical. So you shouldn't have that in the consistent string theory, and we'll see that we don't get those. But nevertheless, it's called a unitary representation. And then, so it's, since it goes in both directions, so you can parameterize it by one real number between 0 and 1, just to decide where to start. And so then you have these, and then J is there to give you the conformal wave of the ground state, which is the same formula as this one, but it actually is more convenient to write J is equal to half plus I S, where S goes from 0, minus infinity to plus infinity, so that this can be written as K minus 2 S squared plus Q over 4. So this has positive conformal wave, whereas this has negative conformal wave. And then you draw a representation and you basically have state C. Well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. This region, and then there are not known algorithms. But you see that from the discussion that I just made, it should be clear to you that this should not be the end of the story, because this kind of algebra also has a spectral flow symmetry to it. So we have to sum over spectral flow. And in the case of SU2, the spectral flow acted the mode 2, so if you act it twice, you just get back the original representation. So you don't have anything new to it. But here, it's clear that these are not invariant under spectral flow transformations. So you start generating new representations. And so the alpha is denoted by D of W. So basically what you get is D J of W. So what you do is basically rotate this diagram. And so you get this type of representation, where in this direction you go by doing JW of minus plus or JW J minus W minus, and in this direction you go JW plus 1 plus J minus 1 minus W. And then the state I is
what? What's the physical interpretation of L0 being undone below?
Here, the zero is not bounded below. And that's bad for unitary conformal field theory, but we are not dealing with unitary conformal field theory, we are dealing with SF2R WCW model, which has indefinite signature kinetic energy. And what we should hope for is that once you bring into string theory and impose physical state condition, you should only get positive normal state with positive space time. And indeed, in fact, in order for you to have a physical state, you have to have a state with negative energy. Because Virasoro constraint is, after all, that Virasoro algebra is equal, generator is equal to zero, not tachyon. And so if you have all the state has positive energy, you have no hope of any physical state. Yes?
Hiroshi, I'm confused. Let's go back to the C's.
Yes.
And for the C's, for fixed K, H is always greater than, for C, omega equals zero. H is always greater than a quarter divided by K minus 2.
Exactly.
So why don't you let it go all the way down to minus infinity?
Minus infinity.
Why don't you let H go all the way down to minus infinity?
Well,
I'm sorry, there's a group theory reason why H is bounded below by this number.
There's a group theoretical reason why this is false.
Why'd you choose those J's rather than some other real one?
If you're not worried about unitarity.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the reason that I choose this one is that, so this is a proposal, and I'm going to prove that this is correct one. Okay. But the reason that I came up with this proposal was that this should be consistent with anything we know about semi-classical picture of string in ABS. So for example, it should reproduce the particle moving in ABS, or a string propagating in ABS. So for example, one thing we should know is that we are quantizing the map from group into SL2R group manifold. That's what this Witten model does. So for example, if you ignore the string excitation, this is a set, you can reduce this model to a point model of point particle moving in SL2R group manifold. In that model, we know the Brewer space. Brewer space is a space of square integrable functions on the SL2R group manifold, and then they have a functional formula about that. And then that, this should be consistent with that. So for example, if you reduce the string excitation, you should reproduce the functional formula on the point particle. And that should be correspond, that should be in the W equal zero sector in this Hilbert space. So if you don't have a unitary representation, so that means that that sector is unitary.
So the statement is exactly, it's bounded below in the W equals zero sector, and in the other sectors you have to appeal to some stringy argument.
Exactly. Yes.
Ooh, thank you.
Because these are stringy states, as you can see. So W equals zero sector is a point particle. So there is a limit where you reduce this model to the quantum mechanics of the group manifold. So you should expect to see the result consistent with the quantum mechanics of group manifold in the W equals zero sector. And then the invariance of the spectral flow tells you what you should do in other sectors.
But there is also S3. It's the ST cross S3, where is the motion S3?
Well, S3, so here I'm paying attention to ADS. So the target space is a product manifold. So I'm treating each individual factor separately. And the SU2 part we know perfectly well from more than 50 years ago. So I'm not worried about that. Okay, so this is one of them. And it's clear that we should do the same in this sector. And then what you get is this slanted representation with everything on this side, and then it goes in the zero. And so one first thing we did, I did with Juan, was that we have this serial space, and with this constraint, we can put a logo to theory for all the sectors, with including sector with non-zero W. And that basically answers the question, part of the question Steve just raised, that although this silver space is very thick, that it has lots of negative energy state, actually infinitely negative energy state, and lots of negative normal state, but if you impose physical state condition, namely that we have some generator for ABS3 part and other part, minus one, depend if you are dealing with boson stream, is equal to zero, then you can get rid of all the negative normal state, and you get a nice Hilbert space. Now, so you may ask, why we have to do this? That was actually a point raised in Michael's paper 3 years ago, and so because they indeed pointed out that if you have something like that, you can prove no Gauss theorem at W equals zero sector. But they also exhibited that there are negative normal state which you cannot get rid of if you allow J to be greater than this one. There are various reasons to say that this is consistent. And the real reason is that this fits well with physical interpretation of string in ADS. But I can give you a couple of more mathematical reasons. First of all, I will show you that this you automatically get this result by doing physical computation in ADS. That I will discuss in 5 minutes or so. But there's a more mathematical reason for that. That is basically that you require that this Hilbert space is invariant under spectral flow. And one of the things you see is that D of minus D of W equals minus one sector is just a complex conjugate of this representation. Because if you move this, so W equals, for W equals minus one, you just fit this over here. So you just get representation, which is like that, which is just complex conjugation of this representation. However, the value of J is shifted. This is equal to complex conjugation of ordinary representation, but J is K over 2 minus J. So therefore, if you believe that J should start with minus one, should start with one half, you believe, if you trust the point cloud picture, then by the spectral zone, you discover that there has to be this constraint on upper bound, because the reflection of J into K over 2 minus J extends these 2 points.
Okay. So is it probably stupid, but how much is K over 2 minus 1 half? Is it the same like K over
2? K is the number of hybrids.
I mean, shouldn't that be K minus 1 in the...
Oh, K minus 1. Oh, excuse me. Actually, maybe I wrote it in the... Thank you. Because some of them has to be equal to K. Yeah, that was typo. Thank you.
So is it sum or integral?
It's an integral. It will be sum if we are dealing with single dimensions area. But SL2R group manifold has phi 1. And that phi 1 is in time-like direction. So you have close to time-like curve if you just do that. So I have to consider universal curve of that. And if you just quantize the SL2R group manifold, the J is quantized.
Okay.
If you consider universal curve, J is an integral.
But the unitary representations of SL2R, the discrete series.
No. It's called discrete series because mathematicians only consider single curve of SL2R. And they wanted to have the compact time-like direction. So therefore J was discrete because of that same reason. But unitarity is independent of that.
You still need the J0 minus acting on the state in the corner.
Yeah, it has to be annihilated. Yeah. This corner has to be annihilated by J0 minus.
Right.
But
this is integrality condition.
No. It is integrality condition for the SU2 case, but not the SL2R case. Because the SU2 case, you have both ends fixed, so that consistency requires J0. But here, we don't, you can prove, you can easily show that unitarity does not require J to be constant. Okay.
I'd just like to say for clarity that this point is exactly as far as we got in my old paper, and everything else is really amazing.
Thank you. Okay, now, so what I'm going to do, so it depends on how much time I have, but what I'm going to do next is to do some string theory computation and reproduce this spectrum. So I'm going to do string theory computation, which does not assume this, and we'll discover that this is indeed consistent. Now, in order to do that, I have to tell you a little bit about physical state, or physical spectrum of this model beforehand. So let me just do that. So I want to tell you what kind of spectrum that you get. Now, so you start with the state in this Hilbert space, this curve, and then want to impose a physical state condition, okay, and then see what we get. So let me once again remind you that you start with this kind of representation with W equal 0. And then you spectral flow it to get this kind of representation. The state in this representation is characterized by the value of W3 and how much excitation you have. So these are two parameters, L tilde and small n. So if you slap it, it goes in this way. So you have this state over here, which you spectral flow from this state. Okay? And then, but in this case, any tilde is not the amount of the energy. So I'm going to introduce another notation here, which I call n, which is n tilde minus wn, which is the amount of actual excitation from this highest weight state. And that is will appear in the formula that I'm going to write, namely that we want to impose the condition that L0 for SL2R model times plus H from some internal conformal field minus 1 is equal to 0. And L0 for this representation is equal to minus J minus 1 K over 2. So I didn't do the spectral flow, but since I did the spectral flow, it is shifted in this way, plus n, where n is the amount of excitation. Here, these two terms are due to the spectral flow. And then you can solve that to get what J is. You can plug that into here and you can discover what J is. And then J03, which is supposed to give you the space-time energy and angular momentum of the corresponding spring state. So E is energy. So here I'm talking about energy of spring in the ADS. Not the worksheet, but target space energy. And this is angular momentum. Is equal to W plus N plus half plus square root of quarter plus K minus 2 H plus N minus half W plus 1. So this is a formula for the energy error, and there is another formula for the right mover, so the left hand, some of the left and right gives you the energy, and the difference gives you the angular momentum. So for example, in the vector of W equals 0, we can apply the same formula, W equals 0 vector, and then what you get is basically what Mike did 12 years ago, that you start with this point particle like state and consider free excitation to see what the physical states are. And then in this case, the energy is equal to N plus quarter of K minus 2, H plus N minus 1. And anybody who has done anything about the ABS-CFT correspondence should recognize that this is a familiar formula for the conformal weight of target space conformal field theory, given the mass of particle in ADS, where mass square is proportional to H plus N minus 1. And K is a curvature radius squared. Now, the puzzle, if I understand it correctly, is that my purpose was this, that the unitarity required that J has to be inside of this window. And J is given by this formula, which I didn't write, but roughly the kind of formula. So this translates into the constraint like this. And this one's problematic, because what it shows is that there is an upper bound on the allowed, allowed mass square of string. Namely, H, for example, is an internal conformal weight of string. So, for example, imagine we have internal space to be porous. And then we have string wrapping around the porous binding section, which has certain energy, which is given by H. Now, imagine that you increase the radius of porous. Then H is gradually increasing, and then eventually hit this bound. Then do you say that that string, physical state of string, disappears? So that was the question, if I understand it correctly. One of the questions about spectrum ABS, that was problematic, that this bound translates into the bound of mass square of string excitation. Therefore, for example, you don't have high density of state because there's a cutoff on the mass of physical state, etc. Now, including, so this program is lifted if you include all the physical state, all the winding sector, because the formula for J can now allow the introduction of W. So we now have this formula. So, if you look at this formula, what basically does you is that suppose, for example, you increase the value of H, and you increase the value of J and H, and then J is increased and starts picking this pole. And oops, you discover that J can turn on W to reduce J. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the bound of this translates not into this, but in the sector with winding number W, the bound becomes something like quarter of K plus KW plus 1, 2, W, N plus H minus 1 plus quarter of KW plus 1 minus 2, W plus 1. doesn't look good. When I wrote it, not easier to read. Let me try it. Okay, W squared plus 2W. And then this stuff. And then quarter of W plus 1 squared minus half of W plus 1. So you see that depending on the value of this, you can choose the winding number appropriately so that you can find the physical state.
So does that mean that the Hilbert space of the combined theory is not just a tensor product of this with the Hilbert space of the internal theory? I mean, the thing that sits in the middle is...
Physical Hilbert space is more intertwined. So the Hilbert space of conformal field theory is just tensor product of this fellow and the internal one, but then you impose physical state condition which pairs together these different sectors, and what it does is that depending on the value of H, you have to pick different winding. And actually, if you look at this more closely, you discover that there are gaps. Yes?
Oh, Hiroshi, you're only thinking about the D.
P.
Here.
I'm coming to C.
So this condition, you say, doesn't push you into the string having to be in the C. So.
You're coming exactly to my point.
Okay.
So let me look at this formula more closely. It doesn't look very nice, but it actually is interesting.
Just a question.
Sure.
So as you crank up this internal mass, what's the physical picture as to what is happening to this
winding?
You say, why does it have to wind as you crank the mass up? What's the physical?
The changing winding number is something bizarre, so there must be something similar happens in between, right? So I'm going to exhibit that.
Okay.
So let me draw a diagram. So here is this energy. So you may consider it as mass square. Well, let me just write it as mass square. So we have this mass square, right? Which is this thing. And then mass square starts from zero. And from zero to quarter of k minus 2, we have w equals 0 second. And if mass exceeds this, then you don't have any physical state in this circuit. And then you discover that you can go up to quarter of k plus 2. According to this formula, where w equals 1. And then you can go up to k minus 1. K minus 1, this is, right?
K minus
1. K minus 1. K minus 1, excuse me. Yeah, there's 2 here. K minus 1. So there's w equals 1 second. And then, I want to draw one more, and then here I have k plus 1, and it goes up to 9 quarter of k minus 3 half. You have w equal 2 sector. So at this mass you have w equal 0 sector, at this mass you have w equal 1 sector, at this mass you have w equal 2 sector. So what happens is that you have, once again, in this picture, you have this radius, fixed radius and fixed excitation. You increase the radius of the internal torus, the energy is increased, and then you discover that you cannot go there. However, if you jump over here, you have w equal 1 sector, w equal 2 sector. Now the question is, what's happening here? Okay. And then what happens is that these guys come to for rescue.
To go back to your comment very early on, this is very analogous to the giant graviton phenomenon.
Yeah, I'm coming to that. Well, this may be regarded as some moral analog of giant graviton, although there is some issue about the detailed correspondence between what Susskind did and what we are seeing over here. And the other thing I want to say is that given so we still have, in some sense, some kind of discrete spectrum, because given H and N, the energy is given by this formula, where this is integral. So the energy level is still integral in space. And this fits well with the fact that in the ABS we have this gravitational attraction. So the string tries to expand, but then contract and expand and contract. So all these string states are, in some sense, bound states. size radius. Now, so now coming to the other interpretation. So this was a picture of B. So now, so I might ask what the role of C. So I'm coming to that. So we have C, J, alpha of W. And so we start with the W called J representation, where we have a shape with spin alpha plus L. Alpha is the number which is between 0 and 1. And then we have excitation of amount N, and we have some state here. And then we surround it by going to W sector, and then we have a children here. So we took analog of this. We do the analog of this, so what you see is that L0, rather than that, we have S squared plus 2.
Sorry, I don't see your, so N tilde, you mean N tilde?
N, oh, N tilde here. Sorry, this was N tilde and this is N tilde. I'm just rotating this diagram. K minus 2 minus W of alpha plus N minus K over 4 W squared plus N tilde. Now, so this is a formula, and then we impose physical state condition. Now, the special thing about this, technically, is that we have two parameters here, rather than one parameter. So here you have one parameter, so that means the physical state condition fixed J, so that's it. So, but here, we have alpha and S, so the physical state condition can be solved with alpha, S is still arbitrary. So we have still one continuous parameter left in the physical spectrum. So then, imposing physical state condition, L0 plus J minus 1 equals 0, to this, you find J03 is equal to K over 4 W plus W, S squared plus 4 K minus 2 plus N tilde plus H minus 1. Okay?
And assuming W is not here.
Assuming W is, I'm coming to that point. So assume, so here I'm only talking about W equal non-zero sector. And with W equal non-zero sector, we have this structure. And S is arbitrary. So that means that spectrum is now continuous. And moreover, this can be solved for any H and N children. So it will fill all these holes.
Rashid, what's the formula for W equals zero?
Excuse me?
What is the formula for W equals zero?
Okay, yeah, so let me discuss W equals zero first then. So now, W equals zero, the consistency of this equation requires that this should vanish. So in that case, S is fixed. And that just corresponds to the fact, well, first of all, if the theory has no tachyon, it's not possible. If that theory has no tachyon, all the internal excitation has positive or zero energy. So this has no solution. This equals zero has no solution. So W equals zero can have physical state only when the theory has tachyon. And that's consistent because W equals zero representation is a funny business because basically the energy is not bounded below. And so this signaling that theory is unstable. But for any other non-zero W, the energy is always bounded below. So this is L0, so physical state condition cuts one sector over here. And the energy is bounded zero. So even though this is a continuous representation, but physical state always obeys discrete representations in non-zero W sector. So if there is no tachyon in the spectrum, and if the internal component sector has no negative component weight, then all the physical state obeys this kind of reasonable representation. And that's for W non-zero. W equals zero sector has no physical state in that case. And so I'm talking only about physical, that case because I'm only interested in application of this to superstring, where I actually, by GSO projection, you don't have this. These states are cut out from the physical spectrum.
Now, for arbitrary S, you cover not only the disallowed, but the allowed region?
Yeah, it's allowed region. But it's coming to more detailed analysis than I have time to. But what we can show is that you can ask, what is the lowest energy state of this? Mm-hmm. And what is the lowest energy state of this? And you will discover that in this window, although you can have continuous spectrum also, but you discover that you can have low energy state in this sector. But exactly in this gap, the continuum spectrum has low energy. So what you discover, you get up.
There isn't a discrete state.
That's right. But there is only continuum spectrum. But here you find that the discrete one has.
Do the energies cross when you hit the bar?
Yeah, I have a diagram to that effect. I can show you. It's more detailed than probably most people here, but I can show you some diagram here. How the crossover?
So the transition from Y, or adding one number goes through these continuous.
No, wait a minute. Which omegas are in each gap?
Well, here W equal 1 continuum. So you have C, J, alpha, W equal 1, which can fill this gap.
So in some sense, when you go up in mass, so if you go back to the single cover, then the D's would be quantized.
Right.
But the C's are still continuous. It is alpha is quantized.
Yeah, but that then it's programmatic, right? Because,
Okay, so I thought there's a picture where, in that case, the W equals zero is discrete.
Yeah.
And they look like bound states below right. The continuum.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing that I didn't know until a minute ago is the continuum is in W equals one.
Yes.
And that goes all the way up.
Right.
And then in the next section, where you've labeled it W equals 1, you have another discrete spectrum.
Right.
And that has a continuum, which I guess is in W equals 2, and that goes all the way up.
Exactly.
Oh, this is neat. Thank you.
So this is, to be precise, this is mass.
Yeah.
And there is a separate diagram for space-time energy. And I think you are more talking about picture in the space-time energy.
Yes.
And in the diagram of space-time energy, so there is, you see that this is so fixed. So suppose, for example, this is an electric this one. This is positive. So that means that energy of W winding vector is roughly K over 4 times W.
Yes.
So this is a threshold to produce W winding vector.
Yeah.
And so what's your picture of what the spring is doing in these states?
Yeah. So I'm coming to that.
Okay.
So I'm coming to that. So we have this extra continuous parameter. So it's like, so previously we have this bound state. So what it does is basically, so you have this ABS, and then we have this spring which is expanding and contracting and doing like that. And because of the gravitational attraction, it tries to do that, and then you quantize this oscillation, and you find this spectrum with gap. And, in the case, there is a special thing about ABS-3, that is that if you, the spring tries to stretch toward the boundary in a special configuration, then the tension of string and the MSNS2 form charge that carried by string exactly balance near the boundary. So there's actually a continuous spectrum where the string can try to escape to infinity. Mm-hmm. And there's a momentum corresponding to that you can identify as S. And so, so therefore, you get this extra representation, and those exist over here.
Again, just in terms of this intuitive picture of what the string is doing. So you've been calling, you introduced this W in terms of the spectral flow, but now you're calling it a winding number. So think of it as actually sort of winding states of the string. But, we don't talk about winding states in flat space, which is sort of topologically the same as ABS.
Right.
Well, ABS don't change. You measure it
increasing. And here.
But it only changes on the boundary through it.
Yeah, so W is more quantum mechanical winding number. There's no pi 1 in ABS.
Right.
So there's no.
And there's 3 either.
There's nothing that.
I'm confused because the picture I just said is that there are several series, each of which is bound states below a continuum.
Right.
And each of them corresponds to a different value of the winding number. So in some sense, you go continuously, the bound states, and then you go into a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the only thing that's mysterious to me is why is it that the W equals 1, 0 goes into the W equals 1 continuum,
the W equals one series go into the W equals two continuum,
right,
et cetera.
Yes.
So what's the answer to that question?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, let me show you. So that probably is easier to explain it in some approximation.
Okay.
And so I have some diagrams that I can show you. So but it also hopefully also answer the question about why we can have the winding number. So this is a transparency I prepared some time ago. So this is a continuum. This is a picture of the continuum, and that's a discrete string. So it's expanding and contracting, and it can shrink to a point and there is no pi 1, so what's going in here? So in order to do that, let me try to analyze the structure, behavior of string near the center. So I write down this as the number action, and then expand it near the origin. And near the origin, actually, so rho equals 0 is the origin, and the phi is an angular variable. And I'm using the static gate, where t is like that. And so you find that because of B field, the effective theory of angular variable and the radial mode is a scalar field, complex scalar field, coupled to a constant gauge field, where gauge field value is proportional to the amount of the internal conformal. So as you change the internal conformal weight, you change the amount of electric field, electric potential. So then you see that this is a kind of exactly the kind of situation where you have spectral flow. So the actually spectral flow I was talking about is the same as spectral flow that appears in the context of two-dimensional system like that. So you can, for example, solve the system like that. And then what you find is that as you change, so if you quantize the system, you see that in the computational relation, there is this gauge field that is appearing.
Spectral flow is the vorticity of the gauge field.
Right.
Okay.
So the amount of the vorticity of gauge field. So then we discover that as you change the amount of A, what you call creation operator and annihilation operator get changed.
So why is A related to H?
Well, in this case, it appears because of this constraint. So the internal constraint, so what I did was basically to write some Landau action, but impose this physical state condition. And then did some, well, I can explain in detail what it is, but this is what I got somehow.
And Hiroshi, so the answer to why you don't do this in flat space?
Is it because we have gauge field?
What, is the beam new field?
Yeah, beam new field is, so yeah, I think so. It is because of this extra gauge field that gives you this spectral, that causes the spectral flow. So in flat space we don't have, so I think if you, even in flat space if you have this constant B field near the origin, then you have this kind of thing. I think I injured myself.
You don't even have to get up the ITP first aid kit,
you're
prepared.
So I haven't finished, and so this is the behavior of string near the origin, and then
near the origin,
this is approximation to this Lagrangian, assuming that size of the string is small. So this is describing what happens when the size of the string becomes small, so winding number can potentially change.
In particular, interactions won't. This is all at the free stream level, but interactions will not conserve this.
Yeah, I'm only talking about spectrum free stream.
Right.
And so then what you find is that this A appears here. So depending on the value of H, what you should call creation annihilation operator changes. And that exactly corresponds to the change of W. Mm-hmm. And the question of Michael was what happens when H hits the threshold. So what happens, I can show in this approximation is that if H is within this window, you have to choose this particular vorticity level of some kind. You may call this as vorticity level where you decide which creation operator, which generation operator. And this is a semi-classical approximation to to this formula, where we then left n and these numbers, and this is exactly that.
Sorry, I still don't understand where A came from. A is related to B now.
Yeah. Well,
B is DA?
Roughly speaking, that is what I want here.
B is DA.
Well, not quite. You have to solve this over here. So,
so A is engaging a U1 symmetry.
So A is related to the presence of B here. So what happens? So the Michael's question was, what happens if H hits this threshold? And if H hits threshold, what happens is that A becomes integer. So if A becomes integer, then you get extra zero mode in this expansion. If A becomes integer, the one of the denominator becomes zero.
Now, I'm sorry. The A and B are Fock state operators for the phi. Phi is representing
the string coordinate.
The string coordinate.
Right. So,
you're saying that something that was a macroscopic rotation of the string becomes the.
Isn't
this
the one of these strings
out
at infinity when you turn
out? Maybe I should have done this. What I wanted to say was that show that at this particular point that the string coordinate acquires an extra zero mode.
Yes.
And this is the S that I wrote over here is an eigenstate of this P, which tells you how much string is expanding.
So something condenses, but what physically is it that condenses it?
So what condenses is the momentum of this coordinate.
Sounds like you're pulling in a string from the boundary, in essence. You're pulling in
the opposite.
Or, well.
So you have this nice, comfortable round string which is doing this thing. And then you raise the energy. And then suddenly, so at this point of age, it discovers that you can have momentum. Then it goes to infinity, goes to the boundary. So there is an extra zero mode that is acquired only at this particular
point. And on the boundary is constrained, it's winding and go back to the boundary.
Well, actually, I'm not sure whether it is changing, the winding number is changing at the boundary or the center.
Yeah, it's not clear whether this is all a continuous process or whether there are different series.
Now here you're not changing the winding.
Here, W is fixed for each given age.
Right.
But when we discuss scatterings, etc., which I may have if I have negative time.
before you get on to the negative time.
But as you increase age, what happens? You follow this out.
Yeah, so the one possibility is the string is kicked to infinity.
On this continuous branch,
yeah.
Which goes all the way up.
The same classical picture here, there's no gap. So there are two possibilities. You can go to boundary or you can jump to second branch. Mm-hmm. But here you have gap.
Right.
So you cannot do that here.
Hiroshi,
yeah.
This particular case in Mike's question that confuses me is you're telling me in the omega equals zero that discrete spectrum then has the omega equals one continuum. And the omega equals zero discrete spectrum is supposed to be just particles, right?
Yeah.
So I have a particle that's oscillating.
But also you're also oscillating about that. Then I find it comes here, the oscillation becomes very large.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden it's a long string?
Yes.
It was just a particle, it was just at some position.
Also you blew it up.
But then all becomes it has grown up so that it allows itself to grow up.
Yeah, it's really doing this. Even though it's a particle, it has an oscillation.
It's oscillating back and forth. It's not all phi, just a one phi.
So my classically, it doesn't really have a size. It's just like it is a one particle.
Yeah, so basically the bottom fell off. So that is not that is what it is. They have this thing, and then you try to extract it, and the bottom fell off, and it becomes like that.
I'm just trying to understand the space-time picture. I mean, I have something which is in the can, and it's just oscillating back and forth.
Right.
And then I give it more and more energy, it oscillates closer and closer to the boundary. But then you say, when I give it a little more energy, the appropriate state is something.
Let me show you another picture. Let me show you another picture.
That doesn't look like a continuous process.
Well, let me show you another picture. So roughly speaking, if I draw the energy and the energy and the here the size, sir. So here's the potential and here's the size of the string.
Yes.
So you can, so what, so let me show you the other picture that I can draw. That is that you write down number action and you compute the energy of string of fixed radius. So how does it look like?
Yeah.
Well, actually the potential looks like this.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Now, here is what happens to your string, okay? So you have this, your string, and you are extending, so those are sitting comfortably around here, right? So this is W equals 0 sector, and it is expanding and contracting.
But I thought the W equals 0 sector was just a particle. That was
but then what happens is that it's oscillating.
Yeah.
And then there is the size of the string. If it is a suddenly excited state, then the size of the string grows as you excite it. And then what happens is that if the size reaches this point, it can escape to infinity. And this model corresponding to W equals 1, C in W. So it creates the energy, and then suddenly it starts going to the boundary.
I thought that W equals 0 things didn't have an expanding and contracting size, but they just had a motion, center of mass motion.
Yeah, but you have to...
If you excite a string enough, it's going to look like a big macroscopic string.
Also. Not if you're just giving it center of mass momentum, or center of mass momentum.
Anyway, so this is what the exact analysis shows. I can give you more semi-classical picture, it depends on what you guys want to hear. I have twice as many notes.
What is the disagreement with suspense? You were talking there is some subtleties directly related to suspense.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
Do you folks compute correlation functions?
Yeah, if I have time. So I can give you a menu. Okay? So from now on, I can tell you two things. Well, depending on how much time you have. One thing I can show you is that, there are two things I have prepared. One is that, so I want to show that this is consistent. So that is that to show you some computation, which I don't assume this as we produce them. And one way to do it is to go to Euclidean ABS and go to finite temperature and compute one loop pulse free energy. And then what we can show, we can actually do the pulse integral exactly in Euclidean ABS by using the method that was invented by Gavitsky some time ago. And then integrate over the moduli space of torus and compute the exact partial function and reproduce this spectrum. So I can do that. And the other thing is to discuss the computation of four-point amplitude and see how we can compute that and then how, for example, the changing the winding number, etc. takes place. So I can talk about either of these things.
We could, how complete, and then presumably there's a summary. How complete is the program? I mean, do you have a proof of the theory is unitary at the Garton level?
Actually, there's one thing which is programmatic, that is that the boundary theory is not completely healthy. Because it has the boundary theory is not completely healthy. Because here we are discussing the case where we have NS background but no Ramon background turned on. So there is a non-compact direction in target space, which is reflected on the existence of that direction. But that also gives rise to some kind of poles in correlation function that I don't have time to. You know, I can get into that later. So what I can say is that if we turn on slight amount of Ramon field, which gives to this continuum, then there is no singularity in the correlation function that still seems to be unitary. But if we turn off Ramon field and then we just have NS background, then there are some singularity in the correlation function which is related to the existence of small instantons in the boundary field. And actually, one of the things that I'm hoping to finish while I'm here is to clarify that completely.
So you're saying that the poles in the correlation function are related to small instantons?
Yes. And I can explain that.
So there's sort of UV divergences?
There's the infrared divergence from the point of view of ADS, which is UV divergence from the point of view of one which is. There's the UV divergence in the sense that worship can grow towards the boundary.
And you mean, and that's the integration of the modular space of the instantons?
Yes. that causes this kind of divergence. So what I want to do, which I haven't finished, is to understand precisely how to map the similarities due to small instanton to the infrared divergence which appears because of the
Robinson. Perhaps we should vote for the next topic.
Could I vote for the calculation of the partition function?
Okay. Well, okay, so let me just do that in 20 minutes or so.
Well, before that, we could just briefly break for those who aren't interested in pursuing this further, and then the rest can stay.
Okay, sure. So, of course, yeah, that's a fair thing to do.
Okay.
Not someone who's subject to all
the pressure. So, okay, well, thanks.
Okay.
Take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Motion?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's such a beautiful lecture that should be recorded. You can also, if you hear your notes, it could be scanned.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay, so we'll come back in just a few minutes.
So let me ask you, I understand how the constraints that we have here are a loop project, basically this.
Right.
Which might be your core, the little bit harder thing you're using.
All right.
I remember thinking about this and just hadn't had the
none of us had this conception about the string and the metric complex extension.
That
would never go into
that.
And then,
I tried to think about it.
And what's filling in this?
Physically, but I was always picturing these strings as small objects. I didn't include it. Now this is really predated.
Well, this brings to a point.
Oh, so you're just saying that the transition happens.
I think it probably makes sense, did you talk more about instanton computation?
Okay.
We can talk about that later.
Yeah. I'm not sure what.
Where is your office?
It's still the 8-6-1. Oh, I see. You have, I mean, you must be in some sort of waiting list for a small office. Well, I don't know. Okay. I will email Bob Sugar and Mark Fitton if you get kind of that sound from the group.
Still,
Yeah.
Still,
this is really gorgeous. Thank you.
The last time I heard you talk about this was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I gave a talk here, I guess a couple of years ago. Are you here at the Brain Theme Conference?
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, okay, yeah, I think I gave a talk.
Very little of this was in place then.
Yeah, I was just beginning to think about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. At that time, I only had some semi-classical picture of how to always start organizing this.
Right.
So yeah, I think I'm quite happy about this. I still want to understand the correlation function better.
The correlation functions have these same integrals in them, basically?
Yeah, so basically what I want to see how, so you compute, so for example, 4-point amplitude.
Right.
In target space CFT.
Yes.
And then you factorize it in product of 3-point, and you want to see how the intermediate state, what kind of intermediate states are propagating.
That's
just
right.
Consistent with the spectrums.
Yeah.
And things like that. And so what you technically what I do is to solve the Kleene's cosmological equation, you know, of the SL2C model, and then find the model of invariant combination, and then integrate over the world sheet coordinates. So
actually,
I mean, there's a story, I don't want to get too far ahead of it, but I thought there wasn't a
there is
equation, because you don't have the zero mode up here.
No, you don't, for Kleene's cosmological equation, you don't need to use the null state. So you are referring to the null state.
That's right.
On this side.
So I thought the Kleene's cosmological equation was exactly this null state.
No. Kleene's cosmological equation is the Sugawara constant. Is a consequence of the cigar,
okay,
which has nothing to do with this zero and null state.
Wow.
This null state helps you to solve the
unless you read the paper, in which case it seems to have everything to do with it.
Well, that's in SU2 model,
yes,
there are two null states.
Okay.
One is L minus 2 minus J0, J minus 2. Minus J minus 1, J minus 1,
okay,
is equal to 0. That's one null state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another null state, which is J minus 1 plus 2 K minus J, is equal to 0.
Yes.
And the Kleene's cosmological equation comes from here.
Oh, sure, okay.
And not from here.
Okay.
And this does not exist in SL2R.
In that integral of... in the integral of f over 2 minus tau to the fifth, even that question arises. Maybe you should show me how you derive, or remind me how you derive that. So,
all right.
But anyway, we're going to do that in one way.
Okay.
Yeah, good. I mean, it's got to work, or there's something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, like, yeah, so.
Very true.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Sorry, I should.
Okay.
She thinks rise weight representation. The highest weight representation.
Here, of course, we does something completely different.
Can we put the microphone?
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Don't kill me.
It does fall off.
Okay, so let me just discuss the one loop test. Pull request. So what I want to do is to compute one loop free energy. F is 1 over delta summation n log of 1 minus e to the minus delta of En plus I mu Ln, where En is energy of a single thing parameterized by n, and the Ln is an angular momentum.
Here I should excuse this question.
Yeah, these are not L naught and J3.
L naught, J3, they are.
Okay.
So if you like, J3 is half of E plus L, and J03 bar, definite bar, is the difference.
It's phase time.
So from the analysis that I just gave, we have all the series of these, and then plug that in, so we have the free energy. Okay. So that's the end. Now, so what I want to do is to re-derive this in a completely logically independent way and test this expression. So we got the answers already.
See, and in particular, the sum over n will have the structure of the integral over the discrete series plus the double integral over the continuous series.
Yes, this is a physical state. So that means that we have a sum over a winding number, and then we have discrete sum of discrete representations and the continuum spectra for the long series. Then we should, so those comes in here. Okay, so this is a prediction of our proposal.
Okay.
And then we want to do some computation which reproduces this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the task. Now, so how do I do that? So the way to do it is to start with Euclidean ideas. Where the metric is k times cosine hyperbolic square root in t square. So this is imaginary time. So roughly speaking, we have the angular variable theta and the imaginary time t, and when and resulting tau for the world seed moduli, and then the radial direction of flow. Okay, so and then so the boundary is rho equal infinity, and the other boundary we have roughly cylinder here, because this and this are approximately the same near the boundary. So near the boundary, the metric is k times p rho squared plus quarter of e to the 2 rho of e t squared plus d k rho squared. So at the boundary, we have cylinder of infinite length, infinite size. So we want to do finite temperature computation. So what you do is periodically identify time. But also, we want to measure the angular momentum. So what I do is twist theta simultaneously. And then do the one-loop partition function of the string. And that should give you the same free element. But these pass integrals can be carried out exactly. The reason for that is that there is another coordinate that one can choose in this geometry. That is that if I write b is equal to sine hyperbolic rho of e to the I theta, and phi is equal to t minus rho to cosine hyperbolic rho, then you find that the Lagrangian for the model becomes del phi del bar phi plus d d bar plus d bar b, where d is a sort of covariance derivative. So you should trust me that the Lagrangian becomes like that in the I do that. And then the periodic identification becomes in this coordinate phi goes to phi plus beta, and b goes to b, e to the I in the data. So therefore what I'm going to what I should do is basically
metric
in this coordinate, therefore, is k d phi d phi plus I think dd dd bar plus d d phi dd bar plus well, okay, and then after you have actually k 1 plus dd bar. Here. You can read it off from this Lagrangian. The Lagrangian is basically metric plus D4, if you so. Yes? Mike wants to say something? No. Okay. Now this Lagrangian, so then what we're going to do is to do the functional integral with this Lagrangian, with this periodic boundary condition, and this is D boundary. Well, not quite, because we have to then, so it's one loop partial function, so we have to integrate that over moduli space of torus. And then we have to multiply internal conformal field theory, etc. That's what you do. And then that is supposed to give you z one loop. So we do that. Now, so why this is doable? Well, this is a technique called the iterative Gaussian integral that was introduced by Gabetsky and Pierre. Basically, you do the partial integral over D first. And then you see that this is Gaussian, so we can do that. And then we can compute we got determinant of this curve. But high dependence of this determinant can be read off by chiral anomaly. Because partial integral of B gives you determinant of del bar plus del bar plus and phi, but this is equal to determinant of del bar modulo chiral anomaly. And chiral anomaly is Gaussian in phi. So we can do the partial integral of phi. So this is a technique called iterative Gaussian. They call it quadrature of conformality state. And so we
which works for what?
Which works for many models of GC over G. I think most of the model where G is a compact group and you complexify it and divide by original group, this kind of coset model most often can be solved in this way. And in this case here we are talking about the test by G is equal to SU2.
Are there models where it's a compact coset space that you can check from, let's see. So there's, the spectrum is known from just its Capelli at 6 and bear.
Yes.
And the spectrum can also be computed by this technique and you can compare them directly.
This works only on non-compact.
We're going to be Gaussian integral. Okay.
So this is always the only way that you can compute the spectrum, is this method.
Yeah, but so for example, this is not to be consistent with many other things. That's Javetsky is a very rigorous person. And
yes.
So for example, he shows that G over H model is equal to G times HC over H, I forgot, something. There are some equivalents, something like that. And then you know the spectrum of this and you know the spectrum of this. And then you can reduce the spectrum of these things like that. And so this technique has been tested in many circumstances. Okay. And for example, it's found to be consistent with the, yes?
Oh. Well, it's only the non-compact case? What about like issue 2 or?
The G is SU2.
Oh.
So the GC is like compact. So for example, G is SU2.
Okay.
Gives you SM2C over SU2, which is exactly the Euclideanized ABS3. And here what I'm doing is basically divide further by this time translation action. So now we are doing this kind of periodic identification, so we get winding vectors. So we get sum over winding and momentum. So here I'm going to write the longest equation on this side of the blackboard, and this will be the longest equation that I guarantee. So then please bear with me for the moment. So
the longest, but you guarantee it's the longest equation, or it's the longest equation that you guarantee is correct?
Longest equation is
correct. These are the longest equations in this talk and there. So we have one group, function, which is an integral. Actually, this equation consists of several components. The longest equations. And so we have a partial function coming from ADS3 part, and then other part, and then ghost part. So ghost part and other part combine, so I symbolically just write it as in this way, because detail is not important. So there is some now implicitly, the ghost part, the other part which is unit, Q8, Q1, H1, where Q is into the 2 pi r. Okay? And then, so the ADS part is the one that I can compute out of Galitsky. And that is delta over h I. We check all the 2 pi's and this one. K minus 2, imaginary part of tau, sum over n prime. So these are basically sum over windings and momentum along this closed time-like direction. And e to the minus k beta, so n minus m prime tau square divided by 4 pi. 2 plus 2 pi imaginary part of u and n over 2. And then there are oscillators. And then partial function of free bosons. So these are basically free bosons, so you can see that we have this kind of structure. m prime is equal to pi over 2 pi beta minus pi mu. Beta m prime half bar times m. So this is, so the thing is that to do this integral and then compare with the expression that I gave. So but then if you want a short statement, I say that well. So we did that and then we got the right result. And but that probably is not as convincing. I have to tell you a little bit more about how we did it and what and seems like that. So first of all, the one of the difficult points is that you have to say integrate over the moduli space of fundamental domain. That's a tough thing to do. But fortunately, there is a trick that Polchinski introduced, like, I don't know, 85 or something, where you can partially trade this convention into some of the copies of the fundamental domain. And so basically what you end up getting is that you get this is equal to beta over 8 pi square root of k minus 2. And then you just have track integral. In this strip by partially trading the summation. And so now we only have one summation. So we have sum over m of g of tau bar m beta m mu. So we have this kind of expression.
There's no zero term.
Excuse
me? N equals zero term?
M equals zero term is independent of temperature. So here I'm only looking at the term. It depends only on the temperature and chemical potential.
Is it conversion?
So M equals zero term is actually divergent, but that reflects the fact that in this other, let me say, in supercycling case, M equals zero sector is projected out because the temperature independent part is the vacuum amplitude, which is zero in supercycling. In monotonic stream, the temperature independent part is divergent, but that just reflects the fact that one group function in flat space is even. So the part that I'm not writing is the vacuum energy of the flat space. Now, so what is this and then z? So I don't need this anymore. I just want this just to show you. So let me raise this one. And then, but this one is important. So z, let me write z over here. So z of tau beta is equal to z to the 4 pi tau 2, 1 minus 4 k minus 2. And times e to the minus k minus 2 beta squared. 4 pi out 2. So this is an integral.
Beta hat
is the combination of temperature and chemical potential for the angular momentum. Okay. Now, this is an answer. Now, we do this integral, but we can simplify this further because the point is that this is to be compared with minus beta times f, which is equal to the summation of physical state of stream of log of 1 minus e to the minus beta of En plus Iu Ln. This is equal to summation m of f of m beta m mu where f of beta mu is equal to summation n of e to the minus beta of en plus I mu n. We just expanded the log into this thing. So now, so what I need to show, we know here, we know what this is from the presentation that I just gave our goal. And so we know what it is, and we need to compare that with this one. But both sides have summation over n in the same place. So we can just drop them. And we just say that this has to be equal to that. Okay? So now comes to the identity that we need to prove. So the identity that we need to prove is that sum of a physical state is equal to an integral of a fundamental domain of the thing that I wrote over there. I wish this blackboard is more high-tech so that I can just cut and paste from that.
David's working on it.
Yeah. Well, with millions of dollars, probably. So this is what I want to prove. Now, if you look at this expression, you see there are lots of funny things. One of the funny things is that there are holes in it. And when we first see this hole, we said, oh, we are in disaster. But typically, so we want to do this exact computation. And then typically the divergence in Poisson function happens in the boundary of moduli space, where the world shrinks to a point and there are tachyons propagating, etc. But those have holes in the middle of moduli space where those hit zero. And so that's very funny. So let me show you where they are. So they are in various places where there is one at when imaginary part of tau is beta over 2 pi, and there are two when imaginary part of tau is beta over 4 pi, and there are three when imaginary part of tau is beta over 6 pi. So there are those four. And so initially we thought that, well, this is a disaster. Is it?
These are
double poles, yeah. These are double poles, yes.
One in each modular region?
Not quite. Depends on the value of beta, because you can have beta with regular.
Absolutely.
So, but you see that when we did this in Kwiatkowski's trick, we already messed up lots of regions in modular space, so it's not clear which one is physically inside of the fundamental domain. But so initially this looked problematic, but we see that this is exactly what we want. Because this spectrum, so we have this sum over n, but this is supposed to contain both discrete spectrum and continuum spectrum. And continuum spectrum comes with a volume of the target space. You know that if you for example confine free particle in a box, and then if you take box to be very large, then the spectrum becomes continuous. But then the state summation get infrared divergence due to the size of the box. And so we see that these poles are exactly there to correctly produce these divergences. And so let me show this so more precisely. So let's try to understand why there are poles to be used. So the metric, as I said, is roughly of this form. for nodule. So therefore, the action is of this form. So the action is of this form, where theta is an angular variable on the boundary, and t is like that. So you may think that then the target space for us, where this is beta hat, the size of the target space for us is specified by beta hat, which is here. And then we are considering the map from world sheet torus. To target space torus. For the unique value of tau and beta, there is no holomorphic map from world sheet to target space, because if there is, then that means that these two spaces have the same complex moduli. So therefore, if generically there is no map from here to here, so that means that this can never be zero. So that means that there is a potential. So that means that rho is confined. So for the generic value of tau, there's a potential for rho, so therefore functional integral over rho is finite. Mm-hmm. However, when tau coincides with beta, or more specifically, tau is equal to r omega plus I 2 pi omega beta hat, then we can have this is equal to zero. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the potential disappears, and then you start seeing divergence. So the way to do it is to systematically regularize it so that that regularization corresponds to the regularization of the volume of Rolle string, phase-space volume of the Rolle string, so that we can consistently compare. And one way to do it is to cut off the integration of Rolle plane near rho so that it only goes near the epsilon of this particular point. And so that regularizes this one. But then this will give you log divergence depending on epsilon. And we want to compare the coefficient of this log epsilon to the physical computation here. So but then you see that what happens is that if tau is not precisely equal to this, but epsilon near that, then the best you can do for this is 2 pi square omega square delta square epsilon square. So that means that effectively rho direction becomes like reduces because of the into the two rho potential. So the other boundary we create, by cutting off the tau integral like that, we are introducing a view potential for the long string. Okay? And so that's the computation, that's the kind of regularized computation that we would do. And so one thing we could do is
the coefficient of the divergence should be a Liouville partition function, is that what you're saying?
I'm coming to that point. So let's first do the rough approximation and then let's come to the more final point of the computation. So let's first do the integration. Let's first evaluate. Let's pay attention to one of these poles here. And then integrate tau near there and extract the coefficient of rho epsilon. And what you find is that in the neighborhood of that, you find it is equal to log of 1 over epsilon divided by square root of W rho, W beta, and it is the minus beta hat quarter W plus W n tilde plus H minus 1 minus beta hat square and complex conjugation. So we start seeing some formula which looks suspiciously similar to what we had in the first part of this talk. And in fact, I can make this more precise. This is equal to log 1 over epsilon times 0 to infinity of ds of e to the minus beta hat quarter of omega plus omega times k minus 2 s square plus quarter plus n tilde plus h minus 1 plus complex code. So what I did was introduced this additional integral, Gaussian integral, to reproduce correctly this factor. But then you see that this is exactly the energy formula that I wrote the first part of the talk. So you see that this rho epsilon, and the rho epsilon is there because what you have, so what's the volume of the divergence? Volume of the, so you are cutting off, so if you have this Liouville potential, you have this Liouville potential like that, so you are cutting off the rho domain, you are cutting this off so that the potential is less than 1. So that means that rho, size of the rho is cut off by 1 over epsilon. So you have this infrared cutoff factor in front of that. And then we have this integral which correctly reproduces the energy spectrum. So we see that in the first approximation, the existence of the pole is exactly so that we have the long string with a correct structural spectrum. But we want to do better. And then what we can do is, so this is the approximation of the integral via the pole. But in order to do that more precisely, the method we did was to separate the integration in each of these regions. This region, and this region, this region. And in each of these regions, we can expand this in a different way because it's a relative rotation of the pole and similarity. So you can do the full Taylor expansion of this in a different way. And then we do this integration. And then we can also separate the contribution of long string and short string because they belong to different representation. One belongs to D-type representation. And the other belongs to C-type representation. So so we can well separate the contribution. And so that's what we did. And then if you do this more detailed computation, it's probably none of you will
separate that. When you do this, when you do this expansion.
Yes.
How does that separate into discrete and continuous pieces?
Well, okay, so you want to know more, so I can tell you more.
Hiroshi.
Yes.
What you're saying is that you can identify in advance the terms that belong to the D and the C parts.
Yes.
So the D part will be infrared finite. And the C part, you only need the log 1 over epsilon terms. You don't need the finite part of that.
Well, we have finite part also.
They need
the
finite part to get the exact answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, again, let me tell you what the finite part should be. So, we have this, we get this integral over ds, and then we have e to the delta of energy. We have this formula. And then we have this log 1 over epsilon. But actually, we can get this finite part also.
Okay.
And the finite part takes the following form. So let me first write the finite part. This finite part takes this form. Takes this form, where n is equal to minus quarter of k plus 1 over omega is square plus. So actually this integral is over here. Quarter of k minus 2 plus 2 plus v. Now what this finite part means? Okay? Now,
that comes from.
So evaluating this more precisely. So we do evaluate this more precisely in the way that I'm going to describe later. And this is the answer. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, so what does it mean? Well, so we can write this thing as log epsilon and some of the two phase shift. One is half of dds of phase shift of long string. And then phase shift of Liouville mode. Okay. So now, so let me explain why this is this is a good thing. So to do that, I have to remind you the basic fact of life about quantum mechanics. So suppose we have some potential. So suppose we have some quantum mechanical model, and in the half line. And then suppose we have some quantum mechanical program like that. And then we want to understand the density of state of the continuum. So what I would do is in the first approximation, cut it off at L. And then we have this finite program, and then we can count the number of states. The how do I count the number of states? Well, we send the suppose this is asymptotically flat. Then we send a plane wave e to the ikx, and then we get back another plane wave with a phase shift, which depends on k, and tune that so that it vanishes over this on this wall. So what we want is e to the ikl plus e to the I delta, which depends on k, minus kl, is equal to zero as a wall. So this gives you the relation between k and l. And from that, that means that the delta k minus 2kl has to be integer or something like that. And so this quantizes the spectrum. So the density of state is basically rho in the space of k parameter is dn dk, which is equal to L, actually 2L, minus dk, d delta dk. So this is the density of state. So this is the regularization part of the density of state. This is the finite part of the density of state. So we have two here. I put it by hand, but actually if you do it carefully, the two here. And then we have half here, because actually k is equal to 2s, if you compare this with the problem. And we have this. Now what is this long string? Well, long string comes from the boundary of ADS, shrink to a point of scatter away to infinity. Now we can compute the phase shift of this long string scattering by computing two-point function of conformality utility. And then from that you can deduce the phase shift and it comes here. Now why we have this reveal here? The reason you have here that you deduce this assuming that this potential is solid wall. But that's not the computation that we are doing. We are cutting off the integral by epsilon near in the modular space. And that is what this is doing, is introduce the new beam pattern. So instead of solid wall, you have to do this by a new beam potential. So this is not a correct boundary condition to impose, but you have to match this with a new phase shift. So what you would do is to match this part of the phase shift with long string, and this part of the phase shift with Liouville wall, and you can show that if this you put the Liouville wall over here, then this is exactly what you get. And so the finite part completely agrees with the computation that you get. So that's the answer.
Now,
where does
the discrete piece come
from? Yes. So for that, I have to tell you how we got this formula. So what we do is look at each individual pieces, and so each individual pieces have this 1 minus q to the n, e to the minus beta hat, for example. And depending on where you are, they are expanded in different way. Because suppose, for example, you are between delta over 2 pi w and delta over 2 pi w plus 1. So you are doing integration over this strip. Then this is expanded in different way, depending on n. If n is large, we can expand it in this way. And if n is small, we should expand it
be this way. And so then this becomes basically sum over Q. So you can integrate over the three, except for this 1 over tau 2. So what you do is basically the simple trick of rewriting this using Gaussian integral. So you can rewrite e to the minus k minus 2 beta squared over 4 pi tau 2 into 8 pi I over beta tau 2 over k minus 2. I've introduced additional variable. Minus infinity to infinity ds s e to the minus 4 pi tau 2 over k minus 2 s squared plus 2i beta s. So then we have tau 2 over here. And then everything is power of q. So we can do the tau integral. Because so what I'm saying is that this all has a form of e to the minus 4 pi tau 2 over s squared over k minus 2, and then some positive power of qn, etc. So this is just an integral of exponential.
I see, except for this discrete.
Yeah, but those are also, except for, so we just do the exponential integral to do, and then we can carry out the integration in this region. Now, so, then, after that, we have this S integral to do. So, but integral, so we have exponential integral, so we have sum over two terms. So basically, the integral we have is like d tau 2 of e to the minus something times S squared plus some number, tau 2, from here to here. So therefore, we get the difference of the denominator and e to the minus something. So we have a structure of something of that kind. And then we still have S integral to do, which becomes S of the long string. And then what we do is change the contour of S so that it fits into the form of long string spectrum. And then when we do that, we pick up four residues. And those four residues gives you the spectrum of long string with the personal crystal. So I guess I overdid it. It's already 2 hours, so I should stop here. So basically, that's the computation that we did in the part two of the paper that I wrote with one student. And so this seems to be rather convincing evidence that the proposed spectrum is a correct. I am hoping that while I'm here, I can finish the analysis of the correlation function of ABS 3 using this approach. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.